All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege of gathering together in your name. We thank you, Lord, for the sunshine, the warm temperatures that are starting to melt the snow here. And as we look forward to spring, I pray, Father, that we would look forward more than that to the opportunities to reach out to those who do not know you yet and to have other activities that will be according to your will. And so, Lord, I pray that you would guide our study of your word this evening. I pray that you would be with those who couldn't be with us. I pray that you would encourage their hearts and may they be able to meet with us this Sunday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. Just taking care of microphones that are on. Okay. Would you turn in your Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 18? Luke chapter 18. We're going to concentrate on verses 1 through 8. This is the fifth message in this series on prayer that I began the end of February. And as I mentioned in the previous message in the series, I hope you are building on what you have learned in the previous messages in this series on prayer. Some of what we'll deal with this evening is a review of principles we've covered in previous messages in this series, but oh, how easy it is to forget these important principles and promises. I keep coming back to what the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he says, "I bring these things to your remembrance again." And the reason for that is because we have great forgetters. Having said that, most of what I'm giving you this evening is material that I included in a part of lesson number 7 in the Growing in Christ discipleship booklets that I wrote many years ago, and I hope some of you are still using. The Lord directed my thoughts and study time toward God's promises regarding prayer and his reasons for possible delays in answering. Would you turn with me then to our main text this evening, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8? And would you just follow along in your Bible as I read it aloud for us? Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me legal protection for my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" You know, God gave us some tremendous promises in regard to prayer, not only in Luke chapter 18, but also Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. You may want to turn, or if you can't turn very quickly, just listen as I read it for us. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. The Lord Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And then in chapter 21 of Matthew, verse 22, "And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And then finally, John chapter 14 and verses 13 and 14. The Lord Jesus again said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." These are tremendous promises. The only limiting factor in experiencing abundant answers to your prayers is whether or not you will believe him and act on his promise. Let me say that again. The only limiting factor in experiencing abundant answers to prayers is whether or not you will believe him and act on his promise. There's much more I would like to say about this truth, but for the sake of time and because it's not our central focus this evening, I'll just have to encourage you to meditate on this truth, perhaps as you go to sleep tonight or as you find yourself thinking about this tomorrow. The fact is, the only conditions we see in Christ's promises here are that we believe he will do what he said he would do, and that we ask the Father in the name, that is, on the merits and authority of Christ. This is what the word name incorporates when he uses it in that context. So the name pertained to the whole person, including his merits, his authority, and so forth. So when you ask something in Christ's name, it isn't just some little stamp that you put on your prayer, but rather it's realizing that the reason God the Father is listening is because you are going on the merits and authority of Christ, who said, if you ask this, I will do it. So we also find an important condition stated in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, where we read, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." We dealt with that just recently. We need to ask for what is according to his will. And this means that we need to be reading God's word regularly and hearing it preached regularly so that we will become familiar with what is according to God's will. Sometimes you may desire to ask God for something, but you're not sure whether it would be according to his will. Ask someone who's more mature in the faith. For example, your pastor. I'm always available. Text me, call me, whatever way you want to communicate. Ask us to point you to a biblical principle that deals with that situation that you're concerned about. For those things that may be in line with God's will in general, but you are not sure what God's specific will is in the situation or request, God promises to give you wisdom if you ask him. James chapter 1, verse 5. "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So there's the promise that if you ask God for wisdom, he will give it to you. So perhaps you may be meeting all the conditions we just covered, but you find that God is still not answering your prayers. Let me suggest some possible reasons for this. The first reason, and it is important to check this first. Did you catch that? Check this first. Could be that there is a sin in your life that you've not confessed to God to receive his forgiveness and cleansing. Psalm 66, verse 18 warns us that if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. You need to confess directly to God in prayer each unconfessed sin that you're aware of. You may need to ask the Lord to bring to your mind any sin that you have forgotten or did not realize was a sin. I have to do that because I have a terrible memory. And so I just almost erased from my mind something that happened, whatever, a minute ago or an hour ago or whatever. But God will answer that prayer, and he will bring to your mind any sin that you've not confessed yet. And then you can take care of it by confessing it to him and asking his forgiveness. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." 1 John 1, 9, "If we confess our sins," you know the word confess simply means to say the same thing. That's what the word confess means, literally. So if we say the same thing about it that God says about it, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." So there's the prayers that you ought to make to the Lord. Lord, show me. Search me. Show me anything I'm conveniently forgetting because of my flesh. But just remind me anything that I need to confess and forsake. And he will, because he wants you to do that. There's a second reason it may seem that God is not answering your prayer. It could be that he is delaying the answer. Remember in our text in Luke chapter 18, it uses the word delay, even though he delays. Okay? So sometimes God delays answering our prayer. He does it. It could be that he's delaying the answer in order to build your faith by requiring you to exercise it. In other words, keep trusting him, even though you don't see the answer quickly. That is what's called exercising your faith. You're making it work. You are remembering what you know about God, his goodness, his promises, his love. And therefore, you keep trusting him, even though you don't see the answer right away. Or he may delay the answer in order to increase in you a genuine desire for this prayer to be answered. Sometimes, think about it, sometimes we just blithely ask the Lord for something and it doesn't seem like we really care about it. But then when it doesn't get answered, then you think about it some more. And then you realize, oh, wow, yeah, this is important. I really do need this answered. And so God may delay just to increase your genuine desire for this prayer to be answered. In Luke 18, 1 through 8, the Lord Jesus' stated purpose for this parable was to teach us to persevere in prayer and not lose heart when our prayer is not answered as quickly as we would wish. There's a third reason it may seem that God is not answering your prayer. Although the Lord may see fit to give you what you are asking for, he may delay giving it because you are not spiritually ready for it, or because the perfect time for it has not arrived. Trust his goodness and timing. We'll see an example of this in just a little bit. Another possible reason that God does not seem to be answering your prayer is that even though what you are asking for is good, God has something better for you. Perhaps a page out of my personal life will serve to illustrate this for you. Soon after graduating from Bob Jones University, at that time a very conservative, godly Christian university, and marrying my wonderful high school sweetheart, Brenda, I had a strong desire for us to go on a summer missions team to Germany. I had, and still have, a burden for the people of that country, most of whom had never really heard the clear preaching of the gospel, but were being spiritually frozen by the cold formalism of their state church, the Lutheran Church. Brenda and I prayed, asking the Lord to provide the financial support required to be a part of this missions team. The deadline for having the funds in passed with basically nothing coming in. Since Brenda and I had surrendered our hearts and lives to full-time service for the Lord, and since I had prepared by studying German through high school and college with a burden to serve the Lord in Germany, I was discouraged that the Lord had said no to the summer opportunity. Now, Brenda had previously gone on the Nova Scotia summer missions team and urged me to consider applying for that opportunity for the next summer, especially since the German team did not go out that year. It only went every 2 years. I agreed to pray about it, even though I thought Nova Scotia is not a mission field. They speak English. See what kind of weird idea I had? Mission field is not a mission field unless they speak another language. Yeah. Well, I agreed to pray about it. As we continued to pray, the Lord immediately provided $100 to confirm that he wanted us to go on this team. Now, mind you, I think it was more like 2,000 that we needed, something around that line. I don't remember. All I know it was in four figures. However, no more money came in. We had the sense that God was delaying answering our prayer for bringing in our support in order to exercise our faith. As the deadline for the funds approached, we prayed all the more earnestly. A few days before the deadline, I got a call from a businessman in our church asking how much support we still needed. I embarrassingly named the rather large sum. He simply said, "You've got it." Wow, praise the Lord. What a boost to our faith that was. We served on that missions team, and as a result, God showed us He wanted us to serve Him in Nova Scotia rather than in Germany. Was desiring to serve the Lord in Germany a good thing? Of course, absolutely. Was it God's will for Brenda and me? Clearly, it was not. God had something better in mind for us. God used us for 2 decades to win the lost and strengthen the saved in Nova Scotia, and then moved us to serve him here in Quebec for now 22 years. In addition to these four possible reasons for God's delaying answering your prayers, there's a fifth one. One important prayer request you may be bringing before the Lord regularly is asking the Lord to bring an unsaved loved one or friend or co-worker or neighbor to repentance and faith. There's a special reason for the delay in this. God does not go against the free will He gave each person. Even though God is not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, He will not violate a person's free will. Instead, in answer to your prayer, He will bring special circumstances to bear and will convict through His word as you give the gospel to this unsaved person. This takes time, sometimes much longer than we would like. But He will continue this work in that person's heart as you continue faithfully praying for and witnessing to this lost person. I take encouragement from the example of Saul of Tarsus, whom we know better as Paul the Apostle. Notice Paul's own testimony of what the Lord Jesus said to him on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 26 and verse 14. Acts 26, 14. This is what Paul said as a personal testimony. "And when we had fallen to the ground," he was on his way to Damascus, "I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" Here, the Lord Jesus indicates that the Holy Spirit can convict an unsaved person's heart. Of their lost condition with the same effect as if he were being poked by an ox goad. This would not go against that person's free will, but would make it harder for him to ignore his lost condition. Praise the Lord that this brought Saul to seriously consider the evidence that Jesus was truly the Messiah and that it was instrumental in bringing him to repentance and faith in Christ. Remember, Saul of Tarsus was a very religious person. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He thought he had it all together, and he, of all people, should be welcomed into heaven. But God convicted him with those goads that he was a sinner who needed to be saved just like anybody else. What a blessing that God will convict if you ask him to work in a particular person's heart. Does that mean they'll get saved? Remember, they have a free will. But he's going to make it harder for them to resist. And that's what we're asking for. Lord, just make it really hard. Put his feet to the fire. Do whatever it takes to show them their need for salvation. So don't give up praying for that unsaved relative, friend, neighbor, coworker. Pray for the Lord to poke them with the ox goad of awareness of their sin and conviction of their need to repent and trust Christ as Savior. So, Christian, in view of all we've studied this evening from God's Word, will you renew your confidence in God's promises and recommit to persevering prayer? Remember the reason our Lord gave the parable to the widow and the judge in Luke 18, verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. So keep praying and don't lose heart. Persevere. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this parable that you caused to be inscripturated in your word so that we could see the importance of continuing to pray and not to lose heart, not to give up. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful in praying, especially for lost individuals that you've brought as a burden to our hearts. Lord, I pray that at the same time that we are praying, that we would also be witnessing to them, that we would be living a godly life. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in the hearts of those that we've been praying for, even for years. And Lord, help us not to give up. Help us not to lose heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.